Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Ben Maton. The New Testament reading for today is from Acts chapter 23, verses 12 through 35. When it was day, the Jews made a plot and bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who made this conspiracy. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have strictly bound ourselves by an oath to taste no food till we have killed Paul. Now, therefore, you, along with the council, give notice to the tribune to bring him down to you, as though you were going to determine his case more exactly, and we are ready to kill him before he comes near." Now the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush, so he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the tribune, for he has something to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the tribune and said, "Paul, the prisoner, called me and asked me to bring this young man to you, as he has something to say to you." The tribune took him by the hand and, going aside, asked him privately, "What is it that you have to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire somewhat more closely about him. But do not be persuaded by them, for more than 40 of their men are lying in ambush for him, and have bound themselves by an oath, neither to eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for your consent." So the tribune dismissed the young man, charging him, "Tell no one that you have informed me of these things." Then he called two of the centurions and said, "Get ready 200 soldiers with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen to go as far as Caesarea at the third hour of the night. Also provide mounts for Paul to ride and bring him safely to Felix, the governor." And he wrote a letter to this effect: "Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency the Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them when I came upon them with the soldiers and rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman citizen. And desiring to know the charge for which they were accusing him, I brought him down to their council. I found that he was being accused about questions of their law, but charged with nothing deserving death or imprisonment. And when it was disclosed to me that there would be a plot against the man, I sent him to you at once, ordering his accusers also to state before you what they have against him." So the soldiers, according to their instructions, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. And on the next day they returned to the barracks, letting the horsemen go on with him. And when they had come to Caesarea and delivered the letter to the governor, they presented Paul also before him. On reading the letter, he asked what province he was from. And when he learned he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will give you a hearing when your accusers arrive." And he commanded him to be guarded in Herod's Praetorium. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. There's definitely some humor in these verses from Acts chapter 23. These Jews who can't stand Paul turning the world upside down with this gospel of the risen and forgiving Jesus, they make this dramatic vow: "We won't eat a thing till we have killed Paul." The funny thing is, when the book of Acts ends some 5 years later, Paul's still alive and kicking. Those Jesus haters must have worked up quite an appetite by then. Turns out it's not such a good idea to make a vow contrary to the promises of Jesus. Jesus, who in the verse just before our reading had promised Paul that Paul would be his witness in Rome, which is exactly what would happen. What did happen through some pretty ordinary means, it turns out, a bunch of which we heard about in our reading. Beyond the humor, that's what I'd hope you'd see in this text. Those conspirators, they make a dramatic vow, but God works pretty quietly. Those other jokers are loud and zealous and full of themselves. But see how God works? Almost in the shadows. See how his instruments seem almost incidental. Paul's nephew doesn't do anything all that spectacular. He listens and speaks and passes on some information. That centurion, he's just doing his job, a single link in a long chain of command. Claudius Lysias, Roman commander, definitely not a zealous follower of the Lord, certainly not full of pure motives either, writes a self-aggrandizing letter, turning himself into some kind of hero. God uses him anyway, as he did the Roman soldiers, who have no idea they are preserving the life of Christ's apostle to carry the gospel to Rome. They're just doing their jobs. Isn't that so cool? God doesn't have to work flashy. God's providence, whether caring for creation or getting the gospel out, does not depend on our good motives or even on folks understanding the full significance of what they're doing. Some of you may have heard of this sort of thing in terms of vocation. God working through our callings, the callings where God has placed us. Or even as Martin Luther talking about how we and going about our everyday business are the masks of God. God masked behind your everyday acts of service. God loving and preserving his creatures through that parent driving the child, or a nurse changing a dressing, or a clerk catching an error, or a neighbor making a phone call, or a soldier standing watch. God is at work in all of that. I hope that makes you smile today, to know that your gracious God not only knows everything about little old you, but is working in and through little old you and your little old hands and feet and mouth and mind to do great things. Back to that humorous beginning, I hope it makes you smile even bigger to know that God's promises cannot be thwarted, not by 40 hungry conspirators, not by prison, by Rome, or by your sin and failure, not even by death. Because the greatest promise, friends, the greatest promise God has made to you doesn't rest on your ability to hold on to him. It rests on Jesus. In your baptism, the risen, forgiving Jesus put his name on you and promised that you are his now and forever. God did not merely figure out some way to get Paul to Rome. Christ promised, and therefore Paul would go. Christ has promised you too. He will work through means you recognize and means you never see, through faithful people and deeply broken people, through ordinary hands and ordinary days. But he will keep his promise. He will keep you in the faith. He'll raise you from the dead, and he'll keep you his forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, beautiful in majesty and majestic in holiness, you have taught us in Holy Scripture to sing your praises and have given to your servant, Johann Sebastian Bach, grace to show forth your glory in his music. Continue to grant this gift of inspiration to all your servants who write and make music for your people, that with joy we on earth may glimpse your beauty and at length know the inexhaustible richness of your new creation in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.